Hello again. Welcome to the program. We're continuing in our series on God's Church Manual. The key verse, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote, "That thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Once again, it's a waste of time if we're just going to build up some head knowledge about the Bible. Let's make this our honest, sincere prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. My dad used to say, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. He had something there. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Let's make this our honest, sincere prayer today.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way, teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart, grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King, my soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy
Well, we're looking at God's church manual. That's important. God's manual is the Word of God, particularly 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. We can get directions on how He wants us to do things in the church. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about buildings. We're talking about people. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the household of God. You can have a building. You can meet under a tree. We do have to have it organized, and we'll see that as we go through 1st and 2nd Timothy, that there needs to be a pastor, it needs to be a place, and it needs to be a purpose. It's all spelled out for us in God's church manual. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Now, that's not talking about the building. That word has been translated household three times. How thou oughtest behave thyself among God's people. So we'll look at the first four verses today. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So let's look at the first verse. We got Paul, we have Jesus Christ, we have a commandment, and we have our hope. Paul mentions himself one time in this whole book. He never focused on himself. His focus is on the Lord, who is mentioned here 14 times. He says the commandment, he focuses on Jesus by, he said, I'm an apostle by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. I looked at that, I said, which is our hope? Is that the commandment, our hope, or Jesus? This word has been translated who 79 times and should be here. Jesus Christ is our hope. And so Galatians 1:1, he says, I'm doing this by the commandment of God. He said, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He said in Galatians 1:15, it pleased God who called me by his grace. So we looked at sometimes and we think, yeah, that missionary, he's been called of God. That pastor, he's been called of God. Well, Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith ye are called. And if you look at Ephesians 1 and the first few verses, it says, unto the saints which are at Ephesus. We are all called. So here we are in this age of apostasy and in this age of COVID-19. We're here for such a time as this. We are called to do something. We're saved to serve, and we need to figure out what it is that we should do and then walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. And so Paul says, I'm doing this by the commandment of God. Not a career move. He was not seeking to make a name for himself. Acts 20, we read, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now he said, I haven't shunned. That included exposing compromisers. He named Hymenaeus, he named Philetus, Alexander, Hermogenes, and even Peter. Publicly, he exposed these people, and God put it in his manual so we would know that we ought to do the same thing when somebody is teaching some doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God. Well, we read the Pharisees and lawyers, they rejected the counsel of God, but in these last days, 2 Timothy 4:3 tells us the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, I want to find somebody who's going to tell me what I want to hear, so don't give me that stuff about exposing people. Now, somebody won't like me if I do that. Yep. Ask yourself seriously, which group am I in? Are you willing to make God's will your will? That's what we prayed about, didn't it, when we started here with that hymn? It focuses on the hope. Now, that doesn't mean I hope this happens. The word means expectation, a strong belief that something will happen in the future. He said in 1 Corinthians, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. No, our focus is on what's coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, focus on your hope. Time is short, and as we said, this series, we're doing it now because we really believe the Holy Spirit wants it right now. So in verse 2, he says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Unto Timothy. Who's Timothy? He was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And he says to this pastor at Ephesus, he said, I'm writing unto you. I write these things, I write unto thee. Oh, so often we want to preach that to our people. Yeah, and there's some applications there. But keep in mind, 1st, 2nd Timothy was written to the pastor, that the pastor might know how he should behave himself in the house of God. So we have the manual. It's there. All we have to do is follow it if we have the courage, or the, I might better say, the spiritual strength to be more concerned about what God thinks than what our friends think. Unto Timothy, my son in the faith. Now, I'm going to give you a list of people here or of scriptures that talk about faith. You can jot these down, copy this out, do what you want. Continue in the faith, established in the faith, weak in the faith, stand fast in the faith. Colossians, we have established in the faith. 1 Timothy, great boldness in the faith. Titus, sound in the faith. Titus, again, them that love us in the faith. 1 Peter, resist steadfast in the faith. 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The faith, mentioned a lot in the Bible. Now, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, the word faith is in the Bible 245 times. Only 5 times it's referring to trust. 240 times, like every one of these scriptures I just quoted here, it's referring to what we believe. According to what you believe, be it unto you. Now, if you really believe God's church manual, then let's do it that way. So he says, grace, mercy, and peace, Pastor. These things are really important. 1 Timothy 1:2. Grace, mercy, and peace from God. 2 Timothy 1:2, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Titus 1:4, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Now, we look at these and sometimes say, well, this was just simply Paul's introduction. No, it wasn't simply Paul's introduction. It was particularly for the pastor. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus were written to the pastor, and he said, you're going to need grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, the desire and the ability to do God's will in this situation. Mercy, compassion for those who don't deserve it. Peace is not the absence of trials or problems, but it is the presence of the Lord. So he says, to Timothy, he says, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, that'll bust up the peace. You want everybody to be your friend? If you want everybody to be your friend, get out of the ministry. First, Paul challenges Timothy about the mess he has to deal with. This was not a time to start a campaign to increase the attendance. The first time we find Christ upset about sin, it had to do with his father's house. In John 2, he made a scourge of small cords and he drove them out. He was not concerned about what this might do to the offerings. Oh, you know, if people leave, but then we won't have the money. You trust God or the people that don't even like you? John 2, it says here, he poured out the changer's money. Not concerned about the offering. He was not concerned about the building looking good for visitors. He overthrew the tables. Now, there's a time when we should be concerned about how the building looks and concerned about increasing the attendance. But for Timothy, in Ephesus, this wasn't it. What he's saying here is stop those people who are teaching false doctrine. And so, doctrine, I'll give you another list here. Here's all the scriptures. Good doctrine, doctrine of vanities, new doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, form of doctrine, contrary doctrine, every wind of doctrine, other doctrine, sound doctrine, doctrines according to godliness, my doctrine, Paul said, profitable doctrine, doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of Balaam. These are all doctrines that are being taught either one way or another. And I remember years ago, Jerry Falwell said, I heard him say it. He was preaching on television. I'm not going to preach doctrine anymore. It's too divisive. Well, where'd that church go down the pipe? It's a rock and roll center. Has no standard whatsoever. You can't stop preaching doctrine. So today we have this false doctrine that says, oh yeah, get that repentance thing out of here. You can't build a crowd if you tell them they have to repent. They just have to believe. Get that stuff out of here. Yeah, you can get a crowd that way. A crowd of wolves in sheep's clothing and a crowd of people who, they're just not saved. And so if you don't stop the false doctrine, the sheep and the little lambs are going to be feeding on it. You're going to lose the next generation. Charge some that they teach no other doctrine. It is significant that before the pastor was to preach sound doctrine, the first thing he was to do is put a stop to those who were teaching false doctrine. So he says, neither give heed to fables and genealogies, endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, we have the wicked doer, and we have a liar. Notice what it says here. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty or a wicked tongue. Wicked people choose wicked people for their companions. And so we got the listener, who the Bible says is wicked, and we got the one who's spreading the gossip, who's a wicked liar, according to the Word of God. And so we read in Acts, or in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Somebody has to change. One guy's trying to change the opinion of another. And to listen to a troublemaker is to give consent to his wickedness. Don't even listen to him. He needs to be rebuked. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We read in Psalm 119, David said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. So what should we do about these situations? And they're in every church. Don't let them get you off track. Rather, deal with godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Keep the focus. Now, Jesus said in Mark 8, I have compassion on the multitude. Compassion on the multitude? Yeah, that same multitude he knew would cry out, away with him, crucify him. He had compassion on them. And so we go back to these three words, grace, mercy, and peace. The desire and the ability to do God's will in the midst of this gossiping situation. Compassion for those who do not deserve it. And a peace, as we said, is not the absence of trials, but the presence of God. So, focus on the hope. When a pastor, as pastors, we have church problems, we need to keep our focus on the Lord. But we also need to clean up the mess. And every detail of leadership in the local church, the pastor needs to know what Christ would do in the situation and then do it. It says in Ephesians 5, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is interesting that the first time we find Christ upset about sin, it had to do with his father's house. John 2, he made a scourge of small cords. He drove them out of the temple. He said, you've made my father's house a house of merchandise and a den of thieves, he said. So this was not the time to start a campaign to increase the attendance. It was his goal to decrease the attendance. Sometimes that's necessary. We read he drove them all out of the temple. He was not concerned about what this might do to the offerings. He threw the money on the floor. He was not concerned about the building looking good for visitors. He overthrew the tables. No, we need to do that. Sometimes we need to have a focus on getting out there and reaching the lost, but clean up the apostasy first. Now, when they beat Christ unmercifully, and they even crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This was a personal attack. He responded differently when they were destroying the church or the temple. He said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves, and he stopped them. And so again, I want to go back to these three words that we usually say, oh, it's just the introduction. Oh, no. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God. Grace is the desire and the ability to do God's will. What do I do in this situation? Do I really want to do God's will, or do I want to do what will get me out of some kind of a situation? Mercy, do I have compassion towards those that don't deserve it? Jesus had compassion even to them that were going to crucify him. Peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That word means referee. You watch a hockey game and a referee blows his whistle. What are you doing? Go sit in the penalty in the box over there. 2 minutes. Think it over. You've done something wrong. When we don't have that peace that passes understanding, that's the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, sit down and figure it out." We need to have that peace even in the midst of the trials. So don't leave the tap running. I recently heard about a test that is given to mentally handicapped people to check on the learning process. They have a tap running water on the floor, and they give the slow learner a mop and ask him to mop up the water. If he shuts off the tap before he begins mopping, they know they've made some progress. If he begins mopping the floor while leaving the tap running, they know he has still got lots to learn. So shut off the tap. Do what you need to do if you're going to have a solid church. Let's sing this again. Make it our sincere prayer today. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine.